The reading today is from 1 Kings, chapter 17, on page 358 in the Bibles in the pews and on the screen. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have instructed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, where he came to the town gate. A widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. I don't mean me coming up to give the sermon. I mean Elijah coming center stage at the perfect time, just in the nick of time. He stars in that plot line which is full of droughts, ravens, everlasting pots, and you might be forgiven for thinking, what on earth is all of that to do with me? How does that speak to me today in 2019? Well, I think today's passage has a lot to say to us. I think it's relevant to us because it is fundamentally about a promise that God has made to you and to me. It's about a promise that he's made to you and to me. He made the promise originally to Abraham, and it was a promise to bless Abraham and all his descendants, and that includes us. Jesus renewed that promise, and he extended it further. He said in John 5, "Truly I tell you," in other words, "I promise, truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me, that person has eternal life and has crossed from death to life." The Bible tells us that everyone baptized in the name of Jesus, as with Sebastian and Sophie today, they pass from death to life. They receive that promise for themselves. Well, that's all very lovely, but here's the problem. Is it worth anything? I think eternal life in heaven is certainly worth something. But promises are only worth anything if they're kept. And at the start of today's passage, it seems like God's promise is going to be broken. And that's because after the golden years of King David and King Solomon, Israel, God's chosen people, the people of that promise, have turned away from God. And they've started to worship idols instead and done all sorts of terrible things. So after Solomon, Israel had 7 evil kings in a row. God gives them 7 chances to start again, 7 chances to turn back, and each time they turn away from him and go their own way. The promise is hanging by a thread. So eventually, with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel in charge, it does reach breaking point. The worship of other gods is so widespread. The number of God's followers is so tiny that God's promise to Abraham is hanging by that proverbial thread. It looks like there may not be another generation of believers. And at that point, God's promise would fail. So faced with this situation, God abandons the normal rules of life and he intervenes very directly in human affairs. He calls Elijah from nowhere, and as I said, cometh the hour, cometh the man. Elijah does some extraordinary things. Let me give you a flavor of his life very briefly. He's one of only 2 people in the Bible who doesn't die. Instead, he's taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Remarkably, we see him here in the Old Testament, and 900 years later, we also see him in the New Testament. Do you remember at the Transfiguration? Who does Jesus meet? Moses and Elijah. He's one of only 5 people in the Bible to bring somebody back from the dead. I'll give you a clue. Jesus is one of the other 4. You get a bonus point if you can name the other 3. But not now. That's over coffee. Schoolboy error by the preacher, I think. My dad used to love Flash Gordon. He would go to the cinema in Newcastle every Saturday and he'd see a fantastic adventure full of wonderful things, and there'd be a cliffhanger at the end so that he'd go back the next week, obviously, and spend his money. Well, we're studying Elijah for the next few weeks and it's going to be exactly like that. There's a miracle on every page of 1 Kings when Elijah is center stage. And the reason for that is because God is going into overdrive to make sure that his promise is kept, to make sure there's that link from Abraham to Elijah to Jesus to you. Nobody in history ever experienced God like Elijah did. We cannot expect to encounter God like Elijah did, but that does not make his story any less true. It may be an extraordinary story, but it's not a fairy story or a Hollywood story, because God does do miracles. In fact, he did 2 miracles just a few miles from here very recently. You probably heard about them. Yes? No? Just a few miles from here? I think Jane has actually got some photographic evidence for us. It happened around February time, I think. I think I'm right, aren't I? If Sebastian and Sophie aren't miracles, we have miracles all around us, right in front of us, but too often we miss them. Okay, let's quickly go through today's story. Elijah comes out of nowhere. He confronts the evil King Ahab. He prophesies a terrible drought is coming. Turn away. King Ahab doesn't. A terrible drought does happen. It starts when Elijah commands it. And 3.5 years later, it will end when Elijah commands it. In the meantime, God sends Elijah out to live in the desert. He drinks from a brook, nothing unusual there, and he's fed by ravens. perhaps a little more unusual. Don't see much of that in Ashted. I think it's more of a Dorking kind of thing. Anyway, he's eventually forced to move on because one of those provisions fails. Did you spot which one failed? It was the brook that failed. Interesting. It wasn't God's provision, God's supernatural provision that failed. It was the brook that failed. Ah, but there's a beautiful little paradox there, isn't there? Being fed by ravens is miraculous, but isn't a simple flowing brook miraculous? We forget that the everyday provision of water and food is actually from God and is miraculous. God's miracles are right in front of us. They're all around us. Too often, we miss these things. So the brook ran dry and Elijah was sent to Sidon to meet a poor widow. And there's something profoundly moving about her story. I think verse 12 is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Elijah asks her for some bread and she says, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour and a little oil. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." She could have denied Elijah's request for any number of reasons. "Sorry, my priority is to feed my son. You're a stranger, you're a foreigner, we need to look after ourselves first. I've never even seen you before, yet you come asking for bread." Or if she'd lived in Ashdod, the best excuse of all, "What would the neighbours say? She's a single woman, a widow. He's a man, a single man, a very strange man. Presumably, after many months in the desert, he's a filthy, smelly brute of a man. What would the neighbours have said?" Remarkably, she does what he asks, and she gives him the first portion of her very last meal on earth. That's a remarkably sacrificial piece of giving, isn't it? And in response, God honours her richly for that sacrifice. She makes one meal for the prophet, and she's repaid with endless meals for herself and her son. Or if you prefer, she makes one meal for God's prophet, and she saves her life. We see over and over again in the Bible that when people give sacrificially, God gives it special honor. Even a small thing given sacrificially can bring blessings way out of proportion to what was given. So the person or the people who generously gave up their picnic of loaves and fish to Jesus, they ended up feeding 5,000. In a New Testament echo of today's story, there was the poor widow at the temple. All the people came and they gave out of their wealth. But who received Jesus' blessing? It was the widow who gave her two tiny coins out of her poverty. She was the one that received blessing. And we have Abraham, who is prepared to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, for God. But instead of losing Isaac, he gains descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And finally, we have the greatest sacrifice of all. Jesus gave his life on the cross. One life sacrificed. That results in an uncountable multitude of lives saved. Sacrificial giving out of small things given sacrificially, enormous blessings can come. I need to start wrapping up. So what does this extraordinary story from 3,000 years ago have to say to us today in 2019? I think it's got a lot to say to us. Next time you see a baby, a flowing stream, a sunset, the England cricket team winning an important cricket match, remember, God still does miracles. And God still keeps his promises. And those promises are for you and for me. God has an extraordinary commitment to keeping his promises. And that means they have great value for us. Let's not make the same mistake as the Israelites by throwing those promises away, breaking our side of the bargain. There is enormous value in God's promises to you and to me. I think this passage also speaks about hope in difficult times. God sustained Elijah through the drought. He sustained the widow, even though she was one meal from death. And she wasn't even a believer. Life doesn't always work out as we would like, but somehow, as we sang earlier, even in the fiercest storm, the fiercest drought, somehow there is always hope in God. Two final things, if I may. As he did with Israel, God does often allow us to go our own way, even for quite long periods of time. But there are times in everybody's life when he does come close and he knocks it out the door of our lives. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and they with me." God called to the widow through Elijah, a non-believer in Sidon. He called to her, he knocked on the door of her life, and she opened the door and let him in. And she received manifold blessings. So please, if you hear Jesus calling you, knocking on your door, please welcome him in. There are manifold blessings to those who receive him. And my final thing, and I'm not talking about money, is this point about sacrificial giving. God is a sacrificial giver. He gave his only son on the cross to save us. We all give, and God loves it when we give. But giving sacrificially to God or to another person, to the point that it really costs us, that can be transformational. Are you? Have you ever been? Could you ever be a sacrificial giver to God or to someone else? That is transformational. I hope something from today's study has resonated with you. I hope too you'll join us next week for the next exciting installment of the Adventures of Elijah. Amen.